Lau on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Press Row welcomes former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan to the show.
You do realize that there are Tennessee fans out there saying, I can't believe it's come to this.
That's a very sobering thought, really, because, you know, I remember back in the day, if Tennessee beat us like a complete tom-tom up there that day when Peyton and Lewis just went crazy. In 98, they won the national championship. But ever since they've made the change for Coach Fulmer, they just haven't been the same. And I used to say some things on the radio show, too. I shouldn't have said. The guy asked me if we ever practiced blocking and tackling one time. I asked him what he did. He said he was an accountant. I said, well, do you ever use a calculator? I'm kind of in mourning a little bit right now, and I'm serious about Fat Domino dying. It really bothered me because, you know, he was one of my favorites. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill, on Blueberry Hill, when I found you.
Jim Donnan's weekly appearance on Press Row is powered by Kia of Chattanooga. Explore Kia of Chattanooga's new and pre-owned inventory at kiaofchattanooga.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here in the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show, which now turns into total fun. Not that it's fun anyway. It goes into extra fun drive now with College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. Coach and I have actually already talked today, and he said the Fats Domino imitation, that was a one-time deal, wasn't it?
No question about that. I mean, it sounded even worse when you played it back, but it was, you know, there's a difference between exposure and being exposed. I was definitely exposed on that.
All right. If I had told you before the season that at Everbank Field, Georgia was going to put a 42-7 on Florida, and that seven was within like the last 3 minutes of the game, how much of a, did that surprise you?
No, I predicted 83-7 when the season started over Tennessee and Florida. That was my prediction.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
No, seriously, I was just inexplicable, really, when you think about it, that the complete dominance last year. We only scored one touchdown in the last 2 years against a lot of those same players. And it was just a big turnaround, and I give Kirby and the staff a lot of credit, and our players are really focused all week. You saw those Gator players talking about what our team couldn't do and all that, and it was just a complete butt whipping.
Of course, this time last week we were also talking about how Kirby was having the perfect week. He was able to focus on the game where Jim McElwain was having to deal with all this, claiming that he had death threats for his family and players. Then he had to backtrack, apologize a little bit. Before you know it, you had the 42-7 and he's out of a job on Sunday. Unbelievably wild week for Jim McElwain. What do you kind of take from all of what happened down in Gainesville?
You know, I really don't know the particulars, but there's obviously some things that just went on behind the scenes beside the football, because he did have a pretty good record winning those two championships in the East, but, you know, just never could get any offense going. That's the main thing. And then I guess that deal about the death threats just didn't really hit very good to the Gator boosters, because, you know, it kind of put the quietus on them that they were, you know, somebody was getting after him like that. So I really don't know all the particulars, but it just never has seemed like a good fit from day one to me.
When you think about that opening now, right now you've got a league that is dominated by, it's been dominated by Alabama. This season it's Alabama and Georgia sharing the spotlight. But a lot of people still view Florida as arguably the best job in the SEC. How do you kind of see all that?
Well, historically, when you look over the years and the ability to recruit and the potential there, I mean, you know, what Bear Bryant, I really always believe Bear Bryant, most of the things he said. He said if they ever get somebody down there that can coach, everybody else will be playing for second. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen now the way Alabama is and the way Kirby's got it going here. But, you know, it's a premier job. It's one that you can get players, you can attract guys from all over the country. And, for just, you know, right now, though, their player base, without those 10 guys that have been suspended and all those other things, I mean, it's just and you heard about that one kid that called in to Coach McElwain, didn't you?
No.
He called his house, and the wife answered the phone, and the kid said, I want to speak to Mac. I got a problem with this suspension here. And he said, well, she said, he's not here. Can I get your number? And no, I need to talk to him. I said, well, just leave your number. He said, well, he's got my number. Okay, what is it? 14. That was his number. So go ahead.
I want to ask Kirby's obviously doing a wonderful job. There have been years in these last few years where the city, Metro Atlanta, has provided as many NFL draft picks as just about anybody. Has Georgia become a job that is like second to none nationally?
Well, I wouldn't say nationally. Yeah, let's don't go off the rims here. I mean, I think certainly there's a lot of potential, but, you know, it's been a long time since 1980, and we got a long way to go here this year too. But the one thing that we do have in this state is a premier group of players every year, a lot of 4 and 5 stars. And I think sometimes guys might be rated 5 stars just because there's so many 4 stars and they got to move them up and they can't move them down. But it's a tremendous state, good high school coaching and a lot of good, it's a big state, you know, from the standpoint of population too. So, but it's definitely a job that, you know, if you get a job here, it's not one that you'd be looking to go anywhere else, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I guess I'm kind of looking at just the current landscape, because Georgia shares the state with Georgia Tech, which kind of recruits to a specific type of triple option. And then with Florida, you got Florida, Florida State, and Miami that are all going after the same folks. And so from that aspect, you could make an argument that Georgia looks as attractive of a job as it ever has.
Well, it really doesn't. But, you know, the one thing that the contiguous states really hit it hard. I mean, you look at Alabama coming in here hard, and also Clemson. They both have done really well over the last 5 years. And, hey, Tech's beaten us 2 out of the last 3 years. So we got to turn the tables on that. We've been on revenge mode here the last year, so we've been getting back at those guys that got us. But you make a point. It certainly – I know when I was the coach here, a guy from Atlantic Journal came over and said we were talking about, you know, his viewership and all that, and all, I mean readership, all that stuff, and he said, Coach, I just want to make you understand one thing. He said, the most important thing for our readers is Georgia football. That's over the Falcons, that's over the Hawks, that's over the Braves, that's over everybody. And I really believe that. I mean, Georgia football is what's happening.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
Coach, I got to commend you. You used contiguous right there in that last segment. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Well, you know, one thing about me, my mother always worked hard on my English. I feel like I do pretty good on that, but sometimes I really wasn't trying to say. That's the only way I knew to say bordering states.
But, oh no, I'm tipping my visor to you, Coach. That was big time. Are you going to apply for the Florida job? I mean, you're a Hall of Famer.
Are you serious? I mean, come on.
I know. I'm not. Coach, go ahead.
I'm out the pasture, man. I got to play bingo in about 20 minutes.
Coach, I got two questions for you out of what really may have been the nail in Butch's coffin over the last, I don't know, handful of days. First, when you are struggling that bad and things happen in the middle of a game like they did against Kentucky, where you get turnovers but you only get field goals, and then the other team scores with a few seconds left on the clock, is there a feeling that is tangible of being snake bit?
Yeah, I think sometimes when things aren't going great as compared to when they're going good, you just feel like you can do anything. And but, you know, you get to that situation, well, here we go again. You know, we just can't catch a break, and it kind of just goes through your whole squad. The one thing I always told our team when we were better than anybody that we were playing was that no matter what, don't ever let it enter your mind that we're going to lose. Because deep down, they don't think they can beat us. But if we start getting to that little edge where we worry about them winning, then we might have a tendency to drop somebody like that. So I think they're just – last year, they were able to win most of those close games till the end. This year, they just don't have enough offensive firepower. I mean, for some reason, they don't make any big plays. They don't get anything easy. A lot like Georgia was last year. You know, Georgia couldn't make hay in the red zone, but made tremendous improvement this year. The good thing about Georgia, which David knows, covering, I don't even think they've tapped the arsenal of things they got in their playbook now that they can do. They haven't hardly used their tight ends or their slot receivers, or I mean, they haven't had to, but they've been kind of keeping it back. But I think they'll let it all roll out here the last few weeks.
And along those lines, there's a lot of scuttlebutt here in Tennessee about the conversations that Butch and the coaching staff let an offensive lineman play the second half with a concussion, with a head injury. How much as a head coach would you keep up with injuries? I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, Butch deserves a lot of blame for a lot of things, but I mean, this one feels like there's further down the rail or down the chain of somebody who needs to bring that to his attention. Is that fair?
Yeah, I just don't believe that Butch Jones, I mean, I got respect for him. I've taken up for him on this show in a lot of ways. I don't believe any way Famer says that he would play a guy that was concussed. Maybe that happened from a mistake standpoint. But I guarantee there's so much protocol now with all this stuff about the NFL. Ron Corson, the trainer here, is on the national committee. These guys meet on that. Hey, when somebody – you got a trainer on the sideline, you got a doctor, and when somebody's in that situation, they immediately inform everybody about it that they don't think the guy can come in. Now, I am, it's not fair for me to comment about the situation that happened there, so I don't know.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, here on Press Row in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Of course, a couple of nights ago, the first release of the playoff rankings, the Georgia Bulldogs number one, Alabama number two, Notre Dame, a team that Georgia beat the second week of the season, third. What did you think about the first batch of playoff rankings?
Well, it's a situation. It's good TV. It's good for everybody to talk about. But, the bottom line is you need to be in the top seven or eight more than likely to have a chance to be in the top four. And that's what you want to do with your resume. But based on what's happened so far, strength of schedule, our win over Notre Dame, you got to really – I thought it would be us one and Alabama two or vice versa. Notre Dame's really taking advantage of having a good schedule. Clemson had a tough loss, but I still think Ohio State got to be right there. Looking at them last week, they had a tough first half against Penn State, but they got a lot of good players. And certainly Oklahoma, if they can win the next 2 weeks, they got to go play Bedlam this week, and then next week they got TCU at home. I think you got to talk about them because they hold the card over with the win at Ohio State. So, but I don't know. Wisconsin seven. What's going to happen to them? They're going to probably be undefeated going into that Big Ten championship game. And I don't really know anybody else that's going to be in there beside the ones in the first six.
Coach, you sound great now, but every now and then you sound like you're like reaching for something.
I don't want to go out there and really go out on a limb like a mockingbird. Sometimes you get 13 or 14 on there and that limb gets a little – you have to stand on one leg if you're a mockingbird. So I'm really not going to do that today. I really feel like there's a lot of rat poison out here, and I just don't want to have to get into any of that rat poison for sure.
All right, when we come back, we're going to preview this week's games. You're listening to Jim Donnan in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Back with more Press Row here on ESPN 105.1, The Zone.
You're listening to Press Row on ESPN 105.1, The Zone, with former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. This segment on Press Row is presented by Kia of Chattanooga. Find your next vehicle today at kiaofchattanooga.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here in the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show, which enters our second of two segments with College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Coach, real quick, before we move on to this weekend's games, I was curious, how did you handle last Saturday when your favorite team, Georgia, is whooping up on Florida, yet one of the great games of the year is directly opposite it with Penn State and Ohio State? Were you channel flipping? Which one did you focus more on?
Yeah, I was sitting there on a sideway angle looking one out of the right eye and the other one out of the left eye, so I had them both. I thought Ohio State would win a lot easier than they did, but I was looking at both of them at the same time, and then I had another one on my tablet. So I really had a three-bagger.
All right, tonight, this week, the big game in the SEC, Saturday night, kind of the last few seasons, it's been the NFL Talent Bowl, Alabama and LSU. Alabama looking for its seventh consecutive win in this series. Can LSU, does LSU have any hope of keeping it close?
No. That's my answer, and I'm sticking with it.
That was pretty succinct.
I don't think they really, they just haven't shown me enough offense to really challenge this team, and I don't think they're going to be on the field so much on defense, even though they set up pretty well. I think Alabama having this two-week layoff here is really going to help them focus in on what they need to do offensively, and I just think they're going to go through these next few weeks like Burma Road.
You know, in some of Les Miles' last years, you know, there's the old adage of don't let the same team beat you twice. You know, LSU would lose to Alabama, and then there'd be an Arkansas or an Ole Miss that would kind of get them too. You look at FSU this year, there was so much made about this greatest opener of all time, number one versus number three, and now FSU's 2-5. Do you lend credence to the fact that Alabama can not only beat you on a Saturday, but continue to just kind of demoralize you in games that follow?
Yeah, I think that's pretty true. But also, the teams they're playing this year, just like the ones that Georgia's playing, just really the exception of maybe Mississippi State, but and Notre Dame for sure. It's just a case of the league's down. I mean, we got teams that haven't even won a game in the league yet. Three teams in the East haven't won a game. Arkansas barely beat Ole Miss last week to win their first game as far as a conference win. So it's just a kind of a culmination of everything. But you do make a good point that Alabama can put you, you know, in your rocking chair, that's for sure. They just have a tendency to think, you know, hey, how are we going to make a first down? What are we going to do against them? They're so dominant.
Of course, I guess one of the best examples of all is Vanderbilt. They went into that game 3-0, and they haven't won since. All right, let's talk about what takes place in Sanford Stadium, Georgia, South Carolina. You could look at this and say, well, Georgia's coming off the emotional win over Florida that came a lot easier than expected. There's the huge trip to Auburn next week. Do you see this as any kind of trap game, or do you think Georgia just takes it as business as usual?
Well, in the past, I would say maybe that might be true, but the one thing that's been very, very special about this team is that week to week, and we saw it last week where, you know, Florida was yapping back and forth about certain things, but Georgia didn't let it bother them. They didn't say much. This is a business-like team. They take care of what they need to do in their preparation every week. They work hard, and, you know, they've made tremendous improvements since the first game. I mean, any way you look at it, this team's improved about leaps and bounds. So I think it could have been a trap game if Georgia, you know, maybe hadn't been had shown some in the past ability to maybe go back and forth a little bit. But so far, they've been dominant every game.
You're listening to College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan and our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga here on Press Row.
Coach, you know I'm a little less serious than David is. This past week was Halloween. When you were coaching in Athens, How did you greet trick-or-treaters that came to your house?
I can honestly say this without reservation. The other night, last trick-or-treat, was the first time in my 72 years that I ever answered the door on a trick-or-treat. That was the first time. So, and that's not being funny. I never was home the whole time. We never were home, but on Tuesdays, coaches aren't there for trick-or-treat. And then just so happened in the last 15 or 16 years, I don't know what I've been doing, but the other night I really had a thrill. This little kid came to the door and I said, I'll give you everything I got, buddy.
When you were a kid, what was your favorite costume, Coach?
Boy, I tell you what, you make it tough on me. You know, I really can't even remember. I know one time I dressed up like a policeman and rode a little motorcycle around when my dad was bouncing it for me. It wasn't a motor. You had a motor on it, but I dressed up like this guy's name was Sergeant Park, and I rode around on that little thing and then went up to the door. But I think that's probably my favorite one. Then another time, my granddaddy took me to a game and down in the first game I ever went to, the Presbyterian, playing Newberry, and I went as a football player. I was 7 years old, and it was Halloween night there
the night before, so people were dressed up, and I got mad because I didn't get to go in the game. I thought I could play.
Well, with the tradition of Presbyterian and Newberry, they probably could have used you, Coach.
Yeah, they did. They asked me to come in at half, but I was already asleep.
Coach, how frustrating is it through the trials and tribulations of a coach and now Butch, and there's the conversation of like the hashtag empty kneeling. I mean, the thing you care most about, and I know this was, it applied to you too, and certainly applies to Butch no matter how embattled he gets, you care about the players first and foremost. That's a tough place to be for your team, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think the only thing I would say to a Vol fan is whoever the coach is, as long as he's still the coach, back your team. They got a chance to win these games here. I mean, it's not like they're going to go backwards if you don't go to the game, but maybe if you go to the game, it might help them a little bit. So I think that's the one thing I'd encourage the fans to do, because it's your team and those kids deserve better. But it certainly looks like something's going to happen there imminently. I don't know if it's already happened or what, but we'll see.
All right, another game this week in the SEC. Interesting when you look at the Vegas line. Auburn going to Texas A&M, but has been pretty much all week a healthy 15-point favorite. How do you think Auburn-Texas A&M shakes out?
Really surprised me how badly A&M played last week against Mississippi State. You know, Mississippi State's had their number. I don't know what the deal is, but I think they've lost 7 or 8 straight games to SEC West teams at home. I don't know for sure. I mean, you guys can look that up. But Auburn, to me, this is a defining moment with Alabama and Georgia coming up. They got to go down there and make sure that they got some kind of offensive firepower going into next week. And if they don't, it's going to be tough. But I think Auburn will go in there and take care of business. I don't know if they'll beat them by 15, but I think they'll win.
All right, do you even want me to bring up – you would probably rather sing more Fats Domino than go over your record last week.
I know it was bad, but I lost my mind when I started singing last week. That was the problem. But I know I didn't do very well. But, you know, I had some games. That's no excuse. I mean, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. I mean, I'm a loser on that, that's for sure.
All right, well, let's rebound. What you got?
Well, I got Kentucky and Ole Miss in the over. I think they'll be over 63 points. I got Virginia Tech over Miami, -2. I got Oklahoma getting +2 against Bedlam there against Oklahoma State. And I'm going to go with Alabama big.
That's kind of a common theme. When you're in the SEC, you kind of like taking Alabama big, and they don't do you wrong.
You know, I'm going to go with Georgia big too, but I can't talk about Georgia from that standpoint. But I think Georgia's got a lot of firepower rolling right now.
Well, listen, Coach, as always, thank you so much. We always appreciate you joining us here in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
Hey, I apologize for my phone slipping at one time and I sound like I was barking, but I can tell you one thing. I heard that commercial for Kia and they got those big deals, and I hope some of this fans will go out there and show your loyalty to Kia Chattanooga. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week.
That sounds great. Have a great weekend. Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, joining us here on Press Row. The number is 648-1051. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
You've been listening to former Georgia head coach and College Football Hall of Fame coach Jim Donnan on Press Row. You can hear Jim Donnan on Press Row every Thursday this football season from 410 to 440 on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, courtesy of Kia of Chattanooga. Browse Kia of Chattanooga's new and pre-owned inventory anytime at kiaofchattanooga.com.